الله أكبر 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 لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن ينالوا التقوى منكم كذلك سخرها لكم لتكبروا الله على ما هداكم وبشر المؤمنين صدق الله مولانا العظيم الحمد لله It is out of the infinite mercy and wisdom and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to congregate here today to fulfill an act of ibadah. While it is a day of happiness, we begin our day with salah. We begin our day with gaining, hopefully, better advice. We begin our day with gaining sensitiveness to the challenges that our Muslim ummah faces. While we are here today, alhamdulillah, happy, we realize also that for those brothers and sisters that have been blessed to go for the Hajj, unfortunately, I was just told no less than 700 individuals have passed away in the area where they do the pelting. Before that, as we are aware, approximately 200 individuals passed away as a consequence of a crane collapsing. But at the same time, while it is sad that this has taken place, these people are the most blessed individuals you can find in the fact that death is something every individual will go through. Male or female, poor or wealthy. And Allah has chosen them to pass away in that geographic location, fulfilling a very highly significant and spiritual action. Muslims are 1.5 billion. Yet Allah chooses a very select few to go for the Hajj. Each one of us could have went, but we did not go. Why? Some for school, some for business, some for health, some for marriage, some for breakup, some for buying a house. That is more important than going for the Hajj. You take out your excuses. Your excuses are yours. But one thing remains, excuses aside, Allah calls only a select few to His house. That is why you and I have to make dua that, oh Allah, bless me, just as you bless me to go to this country and that country for this purpose or that purpose. Oh Allah, bless me to come and go to your house as well. That invite is a very unique invite. That invite is on the side of Allah. And that invite only comes to those that want it, to those that seek it, to those that beg Allah and make preparations for it. Doesn't matter how much wealth you have. When you go for Hajj, inshallah, you'll see some of the poorest people in the world over there. Poorest of the poor. Yet, and all they have money is just to go there, eat a little bit, and go back home. That's what you call a blessing. And you'll be there with your fancy Diners Club card, shopping around, and you'll see these poor ordinary people, they're standing in front of the Kaaba and making dua. And 20 years later, you look at their children, and may Allah make your children successful. But 20 years later, how did this man excel? How did this woman excel? How come their children are this and their children are that? It was that one simple, single act where they dedicated their life to Allah. Allah transformed their entire life. So my brothers and sisters, you want that transformation. You want that change. Yes, you have to work hard. You must work hard. You must do good things. But at the same time, you also have to make preparation that will enable you to fulfill this given act. So may Allah, just as He has blessed them to be there, may Allah bless each one of us, each of our families to be there as well. Inshallah. Also at the same time,
while we are taking part in an attempt to what we will call celebrate. There are many crises in the world that are taking place. We know of things that are taking place in Syria and various parts of the Middle East. In fact, there is not a part of the world in which there is not a Muslim, and there is not a part, except for a very few, that we can say Muslims are truly having a good time. And for the record, just because many of us Muslims look like we are having a good time in America, alhamdulillah, the challenges are less, but there are still challenges. Ask those that are educated compared to the counterparts. You, especially young ones, have to realize you have to educate more. You also have to realize you have to get better grades. You also have to realize when you go to work, you have to put in more effort. You have to be nicer. You have to be gentler. You have to be more kind. You have to be more charitable. Everything, you have to be more. Sadly, our Muslim youth are not fully getting it. They want to club more. They want to party more. They want to dress more, etc., etc. Like the wrong things of the dominant culture. You may think you're going to get away. My brothers and sisters, you're going to end up giving up your iman in the end. In the end, you are going to end up giving up your iman. Understand what I'm saying. There is a trend out there. And if you don't look after the trend, life is more than a haircut and fancy clothes. Life is more than having a fancy radio system in your car and having those fancy wheels that glow in the dark and all that. Wake up to the realities. What Muslims are going through, the crying that we get on our, through our emails and phone calls, it is a reality. Wake up to this reality that Muslims, wherever they went in the world, they made a contribution. Contribution not towards partying. Contribution towards changing the life of those around. That is Islam. That is Muslims. Look at the history of Malaysia. Look at the history of Mozambique, parts of Africa. Look at the history of parts of China. You will see one thing. When Sahaba went, it was to change people. When Sahaba went, they didn't get changed towards that which was wrong. So my brother and sister in Islam, first understand the first point. Muslims are going through challenges and difficulties all over the world. And if we don't be careful in this country, or in any, for example, Western country, a day will come when people will say the same thing they have said to even Muslims in South Africa. What are you here for? You have come from your countries just to make money. You have come to the countries, you leave your countries and come here to build stores, make money, and live the life. And let me tell you, in South Africa, Muslims were getting burnt alive. I don't wish that for anyone. Not a lot, but it happened. Crime is high. I'm saying South Africa, but I come from there. And Abu al-Hassan Nadwi said this, if I'm not mistaken, in the 60s. What did he say? When the Burma issue took place back then, what did he say? He says, if you Muslims don't be careful in this country, the same thing that is happening in Burma, back then he said, will happen to you Muslims in South Africa. Your duty is one, to give dawah. Your duty is one, to help people learn about Allah and go towards good. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, that is the advice we have to give to ourselves. Muslims leave behind a legacy of positive change. And yet what we do in our masjids, in our Islamic centers, all over, excuse me for saying this, our focal point is on, brother, Jummah must be at this time, Eid must be on this day, etc. I'm not saying those are not important things. Those are important things. But you are running behind the petty things and you are forgetting the main thing, your iman, your la ilaha illallah, from life to death. That's why we make dua. Allahumma thabbitna lal iman wa amitna lal iman wa ahshurna yawm al qiyamati ma'al iman. Why do you make that dua? Oh Allah, keep me firm on iman. Oh Allah, take my life away with iman. Oh Allah, resurrect me with Iman. What does this dua mean? It means one thing. It means, oh Allah, keep me firm on the now. Keep my family firm on the now. And oh Allah, when I die, let me die with Iman. My brothers, those of you that are young, you know you cannot take an exam without studying. Very seldom can a person pass an exam without studying. You cannot just go through the book and think you're going to ace it. Maybe one time, maybe two times. But if that is your study history, trust me, you're going to be flunking a lot of classes. Same thing with Iman. If you don't live your life a certain way, you cannot die in the way a believer should be dying. It's a reality. The kalima la ilaha illallah will not come out that easily. How you live your life is the way you are going to die. It comes in the hadith very clearly. The way you live is the way you die, and the way you die is the way you are resurrected. That's why you'll notice a man that sleeps angry, how does he get up in the morning? Generally angry. It just happens. Very few people can let go of the anger by the time they get up. Shaitan does that to a person. Just as your sleep is a death, we have to understand full well that when we pass away, we are going to pass away just like the way in which we have lived our life. So my brothers in Islam, this is a reality we have to bring forth to our forefront. Today people will be sacrificing animals inshallah. And we mentioned this before. These animals are not toys. These animals, Allah has given us control over them. Do you know what the word control over something means? It's not a small thing. It's not an insignificant thing. Allah made us ashraful makhluqat, the greatest of creation. So great that our du'as can get accepted over any other creature. Yet, we depend on other things out there. I was told to make a point. There are individuals that depend on sorcery. Individuals that depend on jinnat. Individuals that depend on individuals that burn certain candles and make certain prayers. My brothers and sisters, depending on those people is haram, and those people at times are kafir and they don't even know it. And when you go and you follow them and do what they want you to do, you yourself sometimes can lose your iman. Likewise, today for example, individuals will be slaughtering animals. These animals are sacred in nature. Allah has chosen these animals just as He chooses individuals to go for the Hajj. These animals are very valuable. To poke them, to jump on them, to make fun of them, even to slaughter one animal in front of another animal and create fear in one animal as you slaughter another animal is haram. I repeat, to slaughter one animal in front of another animal and create fear in this animal that is going to be slaughtered later is haram. Did you know that? And this is something you have to take concern and consideration of. Because these animals are not just animals. They have feelings. They have senses. On the day of Qiyamah, one animal will question another animal, why did you butt me? Why did you hit me? If an animal is going to question another animal, you think insan is not going to be questioned? That is why those of you that are slaughtering, whether it's here, wherever it is, show love, show affection to that animal. That animal is your Jannah, that animal can be your Jahannam. So my brothers and sisters, and those of you that, just as a side record, still want to buy shares in an animal that we are going to do abroad, do come to me inshallah and we will discuss that. Let us just do one, two ayahs from the Quran for blessing, and thereafter inshallah we will have the salah and khutbah. Allah in the Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and these ayahs are chosen at random. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. O you who believe, spend in the path of Allah, spend on your children, spend towards going for the Hajj, spend towards the knowledge and education and the development of those that are less fortunate. Spend in the upliftment of your deen. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. And do not throw your own hands into destruction. Imagine Allah used the word hands. Why did He say hands? With the hand you start your car. With your hand you do your video games and texting. With your hand, the hand is generally the initial point. Yes, feet as well. But if you move your feet and you can't make contact with a person with a hand and a phone, that's it, it's over. Imagine, Quran, over 1400 years. Now we understand the value of the hand. Allah says, do not make your hands throw your entire body, in other words, into ruin and destruction. وَأَحْسِنُوا, and take part in doing good things, because these good things are going to benefit you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves the one that does good. You know, we mentioned one Friday ago, if I do you a good deed and I send you a bill later, do you know by law, if you accepted what I have done, even though you did not ask me, you have to sometimes pay me that amount? Because you took benefit from that. By contrast, if I tell you, don't smoke marijuana, I will give you $1 million. And I don't give you $1 million. Do you know you cannot take me to court and sue me? Because for you not to smoke marijuana is beneficial to you anyway. Allah over here is saying that if you did good deeds, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah is saying, I love the fact that you will do good deeds, and other places says, because you have done good deeds, I will give you Jannah. Where do you find such a great creator, such a beneficial creator, a creator that allows you to do good, and upon you doing good, you are rewarded for the good that you are doing? This is why we say, Allah is the best, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Rahman, etc., etc. So the Quran says, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Take towards spending and doing good things for the sake and in the sake and the path of Allah. And by you doing that, ensure that you don't ruin yourself and your iman. And in the end, you will gain the pleasure of Allah and the pleasure of the angels and blessedness in this world and in the hereafter. As Allah says in another place, وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَوْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ. Do not let your hypocrisy, do not let your vanity, do not let your absurdness turn you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَوْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ, in simple version, you will facilitate corruption on earth and you will create destruction of your crops, you will create destruction in your family. You will create ruin in your life and you will create ruin in the life of others. Wallahu la yuhibbul fasad. Allah does not like this type of behavior. Thereafter Allah says, for the one that fears Allah and for the one that does good, Allah will give you benefit, inshallah, not only in this world, but also, inshallah, in the hereafter to come as well. So, my brothers, with one final ayah, you buy things, you sell things. We all are involved in a trade. whatever the trade may be. I work, I get a paycheck, everyone is doing something to take part in the living. Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And from humankind, there are those that sell themselves to Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those that sell themselves to Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you sell yourself to Allah? By making rightful choices and decisions. When you choose to perform salah on time, you are letting go of the world, you are selling the world to come to prayer. You are making a trade. When you choose not to text that haram message, you are making a trade between good and bad. When you choose to read Quran over doing something else, you are making a trade. You are choosing the Quran over something else. When you choose to go for Hajj over going to Paris for vacation, then you are making a trade. You are choosing the house of Allah over the Eiffel Tower. When you choose to go for Umrah instead of going to Thailand and enjoying the fish and going to the water and going to the islands, you are making a trade. The trade is, I want to become spiritually strong rather than I want to party and relax and take pictures and come home and say, Mommy, Daddy, look at my husband and wife. It's a trade. I'm not saying don't go for holidays, by all means. You want to go, you go. It's a trade though. When you choose to not bring your children to Sunday school that they offer over here, and you wish for them to do, or they sleep on Sunday at home and do nothing, that's a trade. 10 years later, you don't cry. My child doesn't know the basics. It's a trade that you are making. So Allah is saying, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. There are those individuals that sell themselves. They sell their poor choices in exchange of good choices. So that way, they can attain the pleasure of Allah. Today being a Thursday, tomorrow being a Friday, today being a blessed day, tomorrow being a blessed day. Allah gave you two blessed days in a row to evaluate these things so that way, inshallah, you will attain that which is good not only in this world, but also inshallah, the hereafter to come as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all a blessed Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those that are suffering. Muslims are going through difficulty all over the world. I don't need to catalog which countries, but may Allah make it easy for all those people. May Allah make it easy for those of you that are alone and don't have families on this day. May Allah make it easy for you. Those of you that do have families, invite those that are younger, those that have challenges. Make their Eid special. And Allah, inshallah, will continue to make your Eid special as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.